Getting a college degree can increase your lifetime earnings substantially, but even better if someone else is paying for it. I am Rob West. I'm talking about scholarships, of course. Every year, public and private institutions dole out about $8 billion in scholarships. Are you getting any of it? I'll talk about how you can. And then we have lots of great listener questions ahead, but we won't be taking your live calls today because this program is pre-recorded. This is Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. So no question about it, college is expensive. The College Board reports that in 2024, in-state students at public four-year schools are spending an average of $11,260 on tuition and fees. That's just for 1 year and doesn't include room and board. Students at private four-year colleges are spending over $41,500 on tuition and fees alone. With those expenses, it's not surprising that the average student owes close to $30,000 when leaving school. But you don't have to be the average student. Many organizations are willing to help you pay for college through scholarships, if you meet their qualifications. My wife Julie had her own application assembly line going, and she was able to land $170,000 in scholarship money. Of course, that took a lot of work, but look at it this way. You can either put in the time and effort now applying for scholarships, or you can borrow and work very hard later to pay it back. I'm hoping that you'd rather do the work now, so I'll give you the names of online sources for scholarship money, and we'll put links to them in today's show notes at faithfi.com. So, you ready to get started? Here we go. Our first resource for scholarship money is FastWeb. They host more than 1.5 million scholarships, totaling nearly $3.5 billion. To get started, you create a profile at fastweb.com. A search feature helps match you to scholarships that meet your individual needs. It also keeps track of where you've applied, a handy feature. Now, the College Board is best known for testing materials, things like the SATs and other exams, but they also want to help you pay for college once you get there. On their site, you can apply for scholarships and internships. They have leads to about 2,200 programs offering nearly $6 billion in college aid every year. Another great site is niche.com. Like the name implies, they help you find not only money, but also colleges that cater to your specific major and interests. And of course, there's scholarships.com. They have a huge database with more than 3.5 million scholarship and grant opportunities, totaling almost $20 billion. You can browse by category or set up a profile to help you find scholarships specific to your interests. CapEx is another great resource. They have leads on $11 billion in scholarship opportunities. Their site also has a tool to help you calculate the odds of getting into a school of your choice even before you apply. Chegg is another good one. That's C-H-E-G-G. They're best known as an online textbook store, but they also have great articles about finding and applying for scholarships and grants. Turns out they're different things. Who knew? Knowing the difference could help you land one. Now, keep in mind that a lot of these scholarship opportunities are merit-based, meaning the higher your grades, the better your chances of landing that kind of scholarship. But what if you're more athletically inclined? Well, there's a site to help with that. Unigo lets you search for athletic scholarships as well as a wide variety of funding opportunities offered by specific schools and companies. And let's not forget about Peterson's, which is best known as a clearinghouse for information about colleges and universities. They also host about $10 billion in scholarship opportunities. Now, this one's interesting because we usually associate federal aid with borrowing, but the Labor Department sponsors a website called Career One Stop, which allows you to search more than 8,000 scholarships, fellowships, and grants, and that's money you won't have to pay back. One final idea? Check with the financial aid office at whichever schools you apply to. Sometimes they have scholarship money available, too. Okay, so we've thrown a lot of scholarship sites at you, and you probably won't use all of them, but you should definitely try at least a couple. Look for some that you find the easiest to work with or that best match your needs. Many of them will have other features that you might find handy, and again, we'll have links to all of them in today's show notes at faithfi.com. As I said, we're off today, so don't call in, but we've got some great calls lined up in advance, so we'll go to those just around the corner. I'm Rob West, and we'll be right back.
For your walk with Jesus, I'm David Wolin with Haven Today, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. 79 years ago, World War II finally ended. After 6 years of fighting, Japan surrendered. There would be no more fighting. Battles were finished. Scripture concludes on a similar note. It's not primarily focused on wars between nations, though. It's between God and the devil. And when Jesus appears, that battle is over. Jesus says in Revelation 21, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life." And we can look forward to that day with confidence. By God's grace in Christ, the victory over sin and death is ours. And that's true even today. You'll see Jesus more clearly through time in God's Word. Visit getanchor.com.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. If you have money in an investment account, you know sometimes the stock market can seem like a roller coaster. But it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind as a do-it-yourself investor, no matter what's happening in the market. A short video webinar about that is available at soundmindinvesting.org. Financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Weekday mornings at 8 Central, Pastor Jeff Shreve offers Real Truth for Today.
I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries.
The world around us is rapidly changing, but God and His truth will never change.
I may be the host of the show, but I want God's Word and His truth to be the star of the show.
Join Pastor Jeff Shreve each weekday morning at 8 Central for Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio.
We're grateful for support from Movement Mortgage, who provides residential home loans in all 50 states. Guided by a mission to love and value people and a goal to redefine the mortgage process, Movement seeks to help others achieve their financial goals. You can find out more at movement.com/faith. Movement Mortgage LLC supports Equal Housing Opportunity, NMLS number 39179. For licensing information, please visit nmlsconsumeraccess.org.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Our team is not here today, so let me just remind you not to call in, but I will also remind you that we have some great questions that we lined up in advance, so you're not going to want to miss today's broadcast. We will begin with those questions here in just a moment. In the news today, homes have become more affordable for prospective buyers. Well, a bit more affordable anyway. The Mortgage Bankers Association reports that the average monthly payment on a new application, that is new mortgage applications, fell 2.4% to $2,167. I know, still high. The important improvement here is credited to a slight decrease in interest rates and a slight increase in home buyer earnings, making homes slightly more affordable. Other factors contributing to the positive trend include a growing number of sellers and relatively few buyers as the inventory of homes on the market increases. Analysts admit the changes are slight, but point out that they're heading in the right direction for prospective home buyers. I would remind you that with affordability of homes being challenging right now, this is a good time to kind of dial back into your spending plan and your budget before you shop for that home. Don't start with the neighborhood or the features you're looking for. Start with that budget or spending plan so that you can narrow your search to only those prospective homes that fit into your budget. What is that budget? Well, it needs to begin with a 20% down payment at a minimum. We also need to make sure that the monthly payment, that is the mortgage payment, for the amount that you're borrowing is no more than ideally 25% of your take-home pay. Now, we could go as high as 30% in some cases, but definitely want to keep it under that 30% mark. That's going to ensure that you can make everything else balance. Keep in mind that your ability to live within your means and even have some margin to fund your long-term goals is going to be in part driven by these big budget busters. Housing is certainly one of them. Automobiles, the automobile category, transportation is another. Food is another big one. You've got to be careful there. Those tend to be budget busters. The housing one is more challenging, though, because we can dial back our food budget. We can decide to eat in instead of eating out. But, with that home, you make that purchase, it's pretty expensive to sell that home and buy a new one, the moving costs, the transaction costs. So just be careful there and start with only the homes you can afford on the front end, especially now with home affordability being where it is. So hopefully that's helpful to you today and maybe some slight news of encouragement if you've been waiting on the sideline, waiting to buy that next house. Let's go to Grand Rapids to begin with. Jane, go right ahead.
Hi, I hope that you can maybe give me some guidance or suggestions. I have a grandson who will be a senior this year, and he's going to an aviation school so he can take flight school, which is expensive. I would love to help him, and I would pay for the whole thing if that was necessary, but I want him to work for it. I don't want to just give him the money. Yeah. How do I balance that?
Yeah. Well, I love the fact that you're thinking through this in that way, Jane, because you want to bless your grandchild. You love that he's got a direction. He feels like the Lord is leading. He's going to embark on some education around flight school, and yet you recognize it's expensive and you want to balance that. I also love that you're prioritizing some of the lessons he can learn along the way of hard work, not only in terms of the books and the aviation and the studies, but also just, you know, working to pay for it. And, you know, we value something more when we have some sweat equity that goes into our ability to see it through. And I think you're wise in considering that. So perhaps there is a middle ground here, and I think that's what you need to look for. You know, when we're considering something like this, I think the first question is your own financial readiness, just your ability to step in here and make sure that it's not going to create a financial hardship for you. And then I think another approach would be to think about matching his tuition payments. So maybe you do a dollar for every dollar that he puts in, or you do $2 for every $1 he contributes if one for one is difficult. But it reinforces this idea that, hey, we both have some skin in the game here. I want to bless you and help you. I also realize, you know, you putting in some work and being able to pay for part of this is going to make you appreciate it more. I also want you to make sure that you keep your focus primarily on your studies so you get through in the right time frame, which if it takes longer, it can cost more, but also that he, you know, is ends with the knowledge and the skill set that he needs. So what about A, your financial readiness, and B, some sort of matching plan?
Yeah, we are financially able to help him. Okay. That's not an issue at all. I just want to do it right so that do it the best way.
Yeah, yeah. I think that makes a lot of sense. Is he going to have to borrow, or does he have a plan to work and be able to fund it as he goes, or what's the plan here for him?
Well, my understanding is it's about $8,000 for his senior year. He can take it along with his other classes at school. And I think he's got to have it up front. He is working this summer. He's working as many hours as he can. But then once school starts, there's not a whole lot of hours for him to be working anymore.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting to hear how he comes after the summer's, efforts.
Yeah, very good. And then what about his mom and dad? What role are they going to play in this? And have you been communicating with them about your desires to help?
Yeah, they would like to. There's not a lot of financial backup there. They want to, but they're not always, they're not that able.
Okay. Yeah, makes sense. And are they on board with you stepping in and providing some of this assistance?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, great. Yeah. I think we just always want to make sure we don't kind of usurp their role as parents. And but I suspect they see this as a great blessing. Well, one approach, Jane, would be to say to him, listen, my desire is to help you. I'm not going to pay for the whole thing. I'm not even, you know, telling you what percent I am willing to pay. But I would like for you to come to me at the end of the summer or whenever he's ready and present a plan. And, you know, that kind of puts the onus on him to figure out, okay, how much am I going to have at the end of the summer? How much could I realistically, you know, work perhaps during the school year when I have less hours available? How much can I cover? You're going to, you know, hopefully see a balance that he's unable to cover. You might find that he gets creative and has a plan to cover the whole thing, and you may still want to help and step in and do part of it. But maybe putting that onus back on him to come to you with a plan on how he's going to pay for it would create some, you know, work for him to do to understand the true cost of this thing, put some numbers to it, and then give you the ability to react to that prayerfully with what you want to come back with. Does that make sense?
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, it really does.
Yeah. So I'd go in that direction, sit down with him, maybe take him to breakfast or lunch, tell him you want to help, but you need to see a plan from him on how he's going to pay for it. And you'll consider it at that point. You sound like a great grandmother. Before we head to the break, this is a great time for me to remind you about the FaithFi app. You know, we built the app so that you would have a money management tool that allowed you to build your budget using the tried and true envelope system, but to do it in a simple, beautiful format. We built it for you so you could stay on budget. We'd love for you to check it out. You'll find it in your app store. Just search for FaithFi, Faith and Finance. You can go to our website as well, faithfi.com. You'll find it there. In addition to the money management system, you'll find all of our content, broadcast archives, and the FaithFi community, which is there for you to ask questions and get responses from other stewards on the journey with you. Again, faithfi.com, just click app. As a reminder, we're not here today, so don't call in, but we'll be back with more questions right after this.
Streaming.afa.net has now become AFA Stream, and you can find it at stream.afa.net. You see, we removed the letters ING. Our experts have determined that eliminating those three keystrokes, multiplied over hundreds of thousands of AFA Stream visits, could reduce the national debt and maybe increase the gross domestic product. AFA Stream, formerly streaming.afa.net. Improvements to the economy are purely theoretical.
We're grateful for support from Guidestone, whose diversified suite of investment solutions align with Christian values to create positive change in the world. More information is available at GuidestoneFunds.com/faith. Investing involves risk, including potential loss of principal. Carefully consider the investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses of Guidestone Funds before investing. They're distributed by Foresight Funds Distributors, LLC, which is not an advisory affiliate, a registered investment advisor, nor do they provide investment advice.
I think it's safe to say most people have seen the I Want You, Uncle Sam poster. It inspired many to join the war effort in World War I. More than 100 years later, AFA Action needs your help to fight a war that rages in our culture. To answer the call to action, please sign up for Action Alerts today, and if you would, give to AFA Action so we can stay on the front lines. You'll get the Christian Handbook for Civic Engagement as our thanks. Visit afaaction.net today.
Paying too much for health insurance? Frustrated by high deductibles and increasing premiums? There's a better way. Christian Healthcare Ministries. CHM is a Christian community delivering a faith-based solution to the high costs of healthcare. Take control over your healthcare costs with a program from CHM that could save you up to 40%. Learn more and enroll today at chministries.org/faithfi. That's chministries.org/faithfi.
Rob West of Faith and Finance.
I'd like to take a moment to ask you to consider investing in the ministry that you know as American Family Association. One way you can support AFA's efforts is through your estate planning. You can shore up permanent income for your retirement years while supporting the culture-transforming work of the American Family Association. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit afafoundation.net.
We are grateful for support from the Eventide Center for Faith and Investing. ECFI is an educational initiative of Eventide Asset Management that seeks to help Christians understand and practice biblically faithful investing. They do this through their podcast and online journal featuring articles from industry thought leaders and their course called Discover God's Story for Investing. More information is available at faithandinvesting.com. That's faithandinvesting.com.
Great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance here on American Family Radio. This is the program where we apply God's wisdom to your financial decisions and choices, help you make decisions in light of God's word as you're a steward of God's resources. Let's head back to the phones to New Mexico. Hi, Claudia. Go ahead.
Thank you so much for taking my call.
Sure.
I wanted to ask you if it's better to pay my house or to leave the money on the 401k?
Oh, it's a great question, Claudia. I have a few for you, and then I'll give you my thoughts. Are you and or your husband fully retired?
Not quite yet, no.
All right. So you are you married?
Yes.
Okay, and are you both still working?
Yes.
Okay, and how long would you expect that to continue, just based on what you know today?
I'm going to say if I can, I will work another maybe 10 years, and my husband maybe a little bit, maybe the same
okay.
10 years, I think.
Yeah, that makes sense. And what's the balance on your mortgage?
Right now, we have 100. Balance. And
okay.
I just, with everything that is going on right now with the, you know, everything that they're talking about, this is what scares me the most, that I don't know what's going to happen in the next 4 years, but they're talking about Bitcoin and everything that is going to happen and that nothing is going to be of value anymore unless you have your own, you know, land or a house that you own. Mm. And my family, we all pay our houses and we just stay in it, you know. So here is different. People just, you know, live in one house and then they live for a little while and they move to another house. And I don't like that. So,
yes. Yeah. So you'd like to make sure that you own this home and that you can keep it indefinitely, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, that makes sense. And I can understand how that would bring some peace of mind with it. But what do you think the value of this home is today, roughly, Claudia?
Right now, it's about $360,000.
$360,000. Okay. And how much do you all have saved up in your retirement accounts? I know you mentioned a 401k.
We have exactly what we could pay right now. And the only thing that I don't know about is that they were talking about some, fines or not fines, but something that you have to pay
penalties.
To take the money out.
Mm-hmm.
Penalties.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is, they told us this about 15 years ago, and we were not going to do it at the time, but we wanted to save as much as we could so we could do it. But whenever we have talked to other people, they said, no. So I don't know.
Okay. What is your age currently?
I'm 57.
Okay. And is he about the same?
He's 10 years older.
10 years older. So he's 67.
Yes.
Okay. And the $100,000 that's in the 401k, is that his 401k or yours or a combination of the two?
It's both of us. Mm-hmm.
Both of
both
you.
Of us.
Okay. Got it. Well, so here's the thing. You know, because you all are planning to work for another 10 years, I mean, listen, I can sure appreciate your desire to own your home free and clear. I think that's a good goal, and I'd love for you to get there as soon as you can. I also want to keep as much as I can in a tax-deferred environment growing for the future. And that's what a 401k is. A 401k is an account type where as you invest it, the investments are not subject to capital gains taxes, which can erode some of your earnings over time. Inside that 401k, the taxes are not a factor. Now, at some point when you take it out, you will pay taxes. But the key is we take a portion of our income and we put it in retirement accounts and we grow it through the stock market, because over the last 100 years, that's been, alongside real estate, the very best place to build wealth. And in doing so, we get to a place where we retire. And for you guys, Lord willing, let's say that's 10 years down the road, and we've got a nice nest egg that's been growing that you can convert to an income stream. And we take the largest expense in your financial life, which is usually your mortgage, and by that time we pay it off. So apart from you just having a real conviction from the Lord to be completely out of debt and own your home as soon as possible, and if that's real, we'll talk about that. But apart from that, what I would prefer you to do is find a way to just live modestly and have any surplus beyond your monthly expenses from your income and use that to send extra beyond the mortgage payment on a monthly basis, or maybe every few months or a couple of times a year, with a goal that we have this mortgage paid off by the time you retire. And if you do that, then we can kind of have both things working for us. The home is already appreciating, whether you pay it off or not. And assuming your interest rate on your $100,000 mortgage is relatively low, I would rather you keep that 401k money growing so that when you enter retirement, you've got something there that can supplement your Social Security income. You guys can keep the house, and between Social Security and some income coming in off the 401k, you know, you've got enough to fund your lifestyle. But I realize that would mean you keeping this mortgage around for the next decade, even though hopefully it's going down, you know, and we could create a plan where it's completely paid off by the time you retire. But I realize that's not your ideal scenario by way of your question. So give me your thoughts on that.
Thank you so much. So more than anything, I worry about what is coming. We've been in this house for 15 years, and it appreciated a lot. But it doesn't mean that it's real money. You know, I don't think that, I don't know what's going to happen in the next 4 years. But God willing, Jesus comes before all of that.
Right. Yeah. But here's the reality. Whether that's inflated or not, it doesn't really matter, because you're not planning on selling the house. So you have some equity in there. Is it $360,000 or is it $320,000? It's only a matter of what somebody's willing to pay for it, but you're not looking to sell it right now. And I think the reality is, yes, we have some challenges, some headwinds in this country, but you know, we're still the strongest and biggest economy in the world. And ultimately, we place our trust in Jesus as our provider. Let's do this. I've got to take a break. We'll finish up on the other side. Stay right there. Did you know the average person walks nearly 2,000 miles a year? Now think about the millions of children around the world who risk disease and miss out on opportunities simply because they walk those 2,000 miles without a decent pair of shoes. Around the world, Buckner Shoes for Orphan Souls provides access to health, education, hope, and opportunity through the gift of shoes. Visit giveshoestoday.org and find out how you can provide shoes for a child right now.
We don't have to be like the 10 that said it can't be done, it's too big, the giants are too big. We need to be like Joshua and Caleb and say, you know what, there are giants. This is a massive problem. When you have a nation that is ignorant of the principles that produce a free society, start where you can. It's the only way I know. It's a little bit at a time.
Join Walker Wildman and Rick Green as they tackle today's issues from a biblical and a constitutional perspective. At the Core, 1 p.m. Central weekdays on AFR.
Are you a financial advisor or CPA seeking to build your practice on biblical wisdom? Not only does the Certified Kingdom Advisor education provide you with deep biblical insights, the CKA designation sets you apart. Each year, almost 50,000 people search for a Christian financial advisor. Join our community and share your expertise with clients looking for someone who shares their faith and values. Find more information at kingdomadvisors.com/getcertified.
Absolutely free.
We know you've learned to be suspicious of those words, but really, you can get biblical financial wisdom delivered to your inbox each week absolutely free. Articles, videos, podcasts, and special offers on biblical resources. Nearly 60,000 people receive our free weekly wisdom email, and you can too. Create your free FaithFi account by going to faithfi.com and click sign up to begin receiving weekly wisdom in your inbox.
Is God calling you to ministry? It's time to multiply your capacity for ministry with an affordable degree. The Bachelor of Arts in Christian Ministry at Wesley Biblical Seminary is the degree for you. When God called you to ministry, He called you to preparation. This degree is the education that you need to put all the pieces together for an amazing life of ministry. You will graduate with a confidence for ministry that is backed up by your competence in the scriptures, theology, and ministry. Come learn with a trusted seminary that will help you become a faithful leader. Learn more at wbs.edu.
Faith and Finance is grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing. For more than 30 years, they've offered financial wisdom for living well. SMI provides step-by-step guidance for do-it-yourself investors, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. More information, including a short video webinar on profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. We're taking your calls and questions today. Before the break, we were talking to Claudia in New Mexico. Claudia's wondering, is it better to pay off the home or leave the money in a 401k? The balance is about the same, about $100,000 in 401ks between she and her husband. They owe $100,000 on a $360,000 home. They're about 10 years out from retirement, and she's just concerned about the trajectory of the economy, the stock market, the housing market, and I certainly get that. I mean, we've seen the housing market up dramatically over the last several years. In particular, stock market's up. We certainly have challenges in this country. We're not having enough babies to replace the workers. We've got sky high national debt. And yet we have the biggest and strongest economy in the world. And ultimately, our trust is placed squarely in the Lord, not in the things of this world. So how do we balance that and use discernment to be, you know, to understand the times like we see from the men of Issachar in God's word? And I think, Claudia, that's what you're trying to dial into. You know, as we look at what could happen, I mean, obviously, if the economy came crumbling down, doesn't really matter whether it's in your house or, in the stock market, but that certainly wouldn't be my base case. I mean, I think, again, even though we have challenges, I think the U.S., even though maybe 10 or 20 years down the road, unless we make some changes with regard to the national debt, we could have a debt crisis. But even then, we've seen other countries like Greece and others weather a debt crisis. Europe went through it. We would as well. It would lead to higher inflation and there would be a fallout. So it's not insignificant. But I think the key is what passes through your hands and how can you be the best steward of what God has entrusted to you. And for me, based on everything we know today, that is continuing to build wealth in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio with tax deferral, which is what you get in the IRA, and then focusing on eliminating your debt and entering retirement completely debt-free. So I think the better question is, what can you do to ensure that over the next 10 years between now and retirement, you pay the house off? And in the meantime, let's keep putting money into the 401k and investing it in a properly diversified stock and bond portfolio. I just think that's the best option, despite what could go wrong down the road. But does that make sense?
I know, but you know what? I worry so much about it because I just hear all of these things online. I mean, read online and hear people talking about the
When you say you worry about it, what is it that's worrying you? What do you think is going to happen?
Well, I didn't pay $360,000 for my house, but that's what there is worth right now. So, we pay a lot less than that. But everything, you know, like when COVID happened, we both couldn't work. Yeah. And so I a lot of my friends lost their homes. I have a friend who, I mean, really had to move into a tiny little apartment. Just all of these things that we saw, and I don't want, you know, they're talking about another pandemic now. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, when was in 2008, was it, that we lost money on the 401? And I mean, I just worry, you know, I just think, yeah. I want to be safe. I want to have something that I own that I can say, you know, we have our home at least. We don't have many other things, maybe it doesn't matter, but at least we have a home, we have a roof over our heads. And that's what worries me.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I certainly understand that. I think the challenge is you're going to pull all that money out of your 401k. You're going to pay a lot of tax on it. You're going to pay penalties on it, at least the portion that's in your 401k, because you're under 59 and a half. So you might take 30% right off the top and have to send that to the government. So you probably won't even be able to pay off the mortgage in full by the time you pay the taxes and the penalties, because you're not going to have enough to write the $100,000 check, which means you still haven't eliminated your monthly payment. So I realize that you have some concern, and I think we need to give that to the Lord. I'm not saying we throw caution to the wind, but I think we need to trust God as your provider and just make the very best decisions you can. And for me, that's not pulling all the money out of the 401k right now, paying the penalties and the taxes. Yes, could you lose your job? Sure. Could we have another pandemic? Yes, we could. It was 100 years. Could we have another one? We could. Is it likely? Probably not. And even if we did, you just went through one and you were able to weather that storm and keep your house. So, you know, I think the better option is to continue to invest, focus on dumping debt as you can, live modestly, and invest prudently. But if at the end of the day you decide, you know what, you prayerfully consider this and the Lord's leading you to pay off the house, then go for it. I would just work very closely with your CPA, because the last thing I would want is for you to pull that money out, pay off the house, and then find out you have a $35,000 tax bill and you don't have the money to pay it. You know, so that I just don't want you to put yourself in a really desperate situation trying to do the good thing that ends up costing you a lot of money. So give that some thought. Let's continue to seek wise counsel, including maybe a godly advisor and tax professional, before you make that decision. And if we can help further along the way, give us a call. Thanks for being on the broadcast today. Let's go to Georgia. Hi, Andrew. Go ahead.
Hey, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
My question is, I have an aunt that she's in her mid to late 80s, and she had did a reverse mortgage, I'm believing to be somewhere between 16 and 17 years. She outlived the reverse mortgage. Now the mortgage company is wanting her to start paying mortgage on the house. She wants to move out of the house because she's there alone, and then move in with her son, but she don't have the money to make the mortgage payment. Is that something they can do, or because I hear y'all talking about, I think I was listening to this economic show yesterday, and they had a speaker up there about reverse mortgages. So the question is
it a home equity conversion mortgage, which is the type of reverse mortgage we were talking about yesterday? If so, they're not allowed to ever require a payment by law. And the only time they would ever be paid back is either at the owner's death or upon the sale, if the owner who got the reverse mortgage sells the property. Now, if she's going to move out and sell the house, then absolutely she has to pay back the mortgage. They have a lien on the home. But if it's a home equity conversion mortgage, apart from her passing away or selling it, there's never a payment required by law. So let's do this. I'm gonna put you on hold. I'm gonna have my team get your information, and we'll get somebody in touch with you who can help you help your aunt understand. First of all, what does she have, and then secondly, based on what she has, you know, what's possible. Hopefully, it's not some other type of reverse mortgage, like you know, a shared equity type of situation. I'm hoping that's not what it is, but we'll get to the bottom of it. Okay.
Okay, so each state doesn't matter what state you're in, it's the law.
It's correct. You know, so long as it's what's called a home equity conversion mortgage. If it's something else, then, you know, that may not be the case. And so that's the first step, is to determine what she has, and we can help you do that. So stay on the line. We'll get your information. We'll get somebody in touch with you to help you explore that and kind of figure out where you stand. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate you being on the program. May the Lord bless you. We're going to continue to take your phone calls here in just a moment. We're going to take a break, but when we come back, our final segment, Maria, I know you've been holding. We'll get to you. Carlos is in Miami Springs. We'll also head to Cleveland and talk to Kendra. Quick reminder, if you'd like to support our work, you can do that on our website, faithfi.com. Just click give. More to come on Faith and Finance right after this. We'll be right back.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Fostering and adoption is not a band-aid for infertility.
Nope,
like, it
is
a calling, and God can change the desire of your heart and make that so rewarding. It's the most beautiful, selfless thing. It's pure religion, but it's not a fix to I desire biological child. God has to deal with that in your heart separately.
Hannah's Heart, encouraging couples through infertility and miscarriage. Saturdays, 4 a.m. Central on AFR or on the AFR app.
Are you searching for a way to become a better, faithful steward of the resources that God has given you? Well, download the FaithFi app and join the 37,000 others who are already using our app. The FaithFi app will provide you with wisdom, community, and simply help you stay on track with your finances. We have 3 money management options to choose from, so find an option that fits your unique needs. It's available on desktop or mobile. Simply go to faithfi.com and click app to get started.
We are grateful for support from Timothy Plan. Are you unsure if your investments align with your values? Well, for nearly 3 decades, the goal of the Timothy Plan has been to guide clients on a biblically responsible journey with its mutual funds and ETFs. More information is available at timothyplan.com. Investing includes risk, including possible loss of principal. Before investing, carefully consider funds, investment objectives, risks, charges, and expenses contained in the prospectus available at timothyplan.com. Read carefully before investing. Mutual funds distributed by Timothy Partners LTD and ETFs distributed by Foresight Fund Services LLC.
Hey, great to have you with us today on Faith and Finance on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West. Let's head right back to the phones to Savannah, Georgia. Hi, Marie. Go ahead.
Hey, Rob. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thanks for calling.
I have a question about rebalancing 403B accounts. My husband and I are both retired now, and the advisor at, can I name where it is, at the TIEQF, is advising to rebalance. But I don't know what are your pros and cons about it.
Yeah. Well, rebalancing is just the idea, Marie, that as the various investments that you hold gain and lose value, it changes the overall mix of the investments such that you could get out of balance. And what that means is there's an appropriate mix of investments that is right for your risk tolerance, your age, your proximity to retirement, and you don't want to be too aggressive for your goals and objectives. You also, in some cases, don't want to be too conservative because you have certain goals and there's an appropriate level of risk to take depending on what your goals are. And as those investments move around, it gets your portfolio out of balance. And so what he's likely describing is the fact that periodically we need to rebalance the portfolio. We need to change our allocation to one type of investment because it did really well. And so now it's a much larger percentage than we want it to be. And we maybe want to dial back something else or increase it. And that's just a risk mitigation strategy. And so that's a good thing at face value. The bigger question is just, what is the right investment mix for you? How much toward bonds? How much toward stocks? And then among those stocks, are you in growth or income stocks, international or domestic? And you know, somebody can look at that and say, well, here's the right mix for you based on how many years you have till retirement. So I don't think that's a bad idea. In fact, it's a very good idea, so long as it's being rebalanced to an investment mix that's right for you. Does that make sense?
That makes sense. Okay, so it is a good thing. Good.
Yes, ma'am. It is. Absolutely. So in that 401k, if you have somebody looking over that for you, helping you get that back in line and thinking about what is the right level of risk for you so you can accomplish your goals, that's always a good thing. And you certainly want to do that periodically as an investor. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. To Cleveland. Hi, Kendra. Go ahead.
Hello. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I have a situation. I have a home in Cleveland in a condo in Port St. Lucie, Florida. I didn't know. I just knew that I needed some instrument that would protect everything that I have and save it for my daughter. So I went to an attorney. I said, you know, they asked what I wanted. I wasn't sure what I wanted. And I said, well, I know that I don't want to have to go through probate, and I don't want her to have to pay taxes on it once it's transferred. And she kind of still left it up to me and said, well, you know, let's do a will. And I said, okay, you know, I she's a professional, so I just left it up to her based on what I told her. Then I called an attorney, and she did do a will, health care power of attorney, a durable power of attorney, and a transfer on death for my house. And I don't know what any of that is. But anyway, so I talked to my attorney in Florida that I do have a relationship with. And he said, I gave him my scenario, that I wanted to have a trust. And my question is, should that attorney in Cleveland, did they have an ethical or moral or professional obligation to direct me to the right instrument?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me just say, Kendra, I'm not an attorney, and so I will just kind of give you some general thoughts here. But I don't hear anything that you're describing that's out of bounds. What I heard you say was you went to this attorney in Ohio and said, my objectives are to minimize taxes and to pass the home outside of probate. And what you described will do that. Taxes really aren't going to be an issue, you know, unless your estate is greater than $13 million. Is when you pass the home to your daughter, whether it's through a trust, a transfer on death deed, or a will, she's going to get a step up in basis to the market value of the home as of the date of death. And so if she were to turn around and sell the house the next day, there's no taxes because there's no inheritance tax. And, you know, she would essentially be selling the home with a cost basis equal to the market value as of the date you passed away. So there's no taxes in any of those scenarios. So then we're left with the question, OK, what's the most efficient way to transfer the home outside of probate? And the only two ways to do that really are more common ways are through a trust or through a TOD deed, which I think in Ohio is now what's called a TOD affidavit. But essentially, it's a simple way to transfer real property, real estate, to a beneficiary without probate court proceedings. So it sounds like the attorney in Ohio accomplished everything you were looking for. And I would agree, you need the will, you need the durable power of attorney, and you need the healthcare surrogate. The will is going to take care of passing everything else that doesn't have a beneficiary designation or a transfer on death deed. So personal property and assets, to your heir, your beneficiary of choosing. The durable power of attorney is going to make sure that somebody can act on your behalf with regard to legal matters and financial matters if you're incapacitated. And the healthcare surrogate is going to do the same for medical decisions if you're unable to do so. So I think you're covered. The only thing the trust would do is, along with the TOD deed, it would allow it to pass outside of probate. The additional feature of the trust is that it would allow someone to take over with the management of your assets, including your home, prior to death if you're incapacitated, or if you want the things in your estate, including your home and other assets, to be distributed to heirs, to beneficiaries, after your death. Perhaps you wanted them to receive things at certain ages or when they graduate from college, things like that. But if that's not a factor, then a trust is really unnecessary and would be an added expense that wouldn't be needed. Does that all make sense, though?
No, you sound like Charlie Brown's teacher.
Oh, boy.
No.
I've been doing this a long time, and that's the first time I've ever heard that, Kendra. So, all right, so let me back up. We'll try to get a little simpler here. Number one, I'm not an attorney, but I'll give you my thoughts. Number two, you said I want to minimize taxes. There are no taxes, unless your estate's over $13 million, is it?
No.
Okay. Then three, you want to pass your home outside of probate. Well, will a TOD deed do that? Yes, it will. So where did the attorney in Ohio go wrong?
I'm asking you.
Okay, and I'm saying that they no, I'm saying they didn't, because unless I miss something, they've solved for every one of your requests. And so then the only question is, okay, is there anything else other than minimizing taxes, which are not a factor in your case based on the law today, and the fact that the home's going to be transferred on death outside of probate through the TOD deed, and the fact that now you have a will and a healthcare surrogate and a durable power of attorney, which I think you need. I think everything was done properly. So then the only question for Charlie Brown's a teacher is, is there something that a trust would accomplish that hasn't already been accomplished by everything else? And the only thing that I can think of is if you wanted all of your assets to be transferred after your death based on certain triggering events beyond your life down the road, years after your passing. And if that's the case, a trust would do that. But apart from that, I think the instruments that the attorney put in place for you are going to accomplish everything you described to me that you were looking to accomplish.
Great. And one more question.
Okay.
And you might not know the answer, but I also asked this attorney, is there an instrument that we can create that will... My daughter is 35 and not married yet, but I'm... Eventually, I'm praying that she'll get married. And then in the event that they divorce, I wanted everything to be able to stay with my daughter.
Yep.
Is there some kind of...
Yeah, that would probably involve a trust in that case that could stipulate certain conditions upon which and how your daughter would receive this. And for that, I am going to refer you back to an attorney, because that really is a legal matter. And so they'd have to advise you on that. I hope that's helpful to you, Kendra. You've been a delight to talk to today. May the Lord bless you. Quickly to Miami Springs, Carlos, I have just a minute left. I understand you're looking to leave money to a charity, and you want to do that through your required minimum distributions. Is that right?
Yes, correct. But I want to know how much can I leave and actually have enough money left for long-term care.
Yeah, that's really a planning conversation. I mean, there is a way to satisfy your RMD is if your money's in an IRA. Is it in an IRA? Okay. Yeah, so you can do a qualified charitable distribution as long as you're 70 and a half. You can do a qualified charitable distribution for 2024. You could do up to $105,000. You don't have to do that much, but you can. And that would go straight from your IRA to the charity. You would not have to recognize that as income. And every bit of that QCD would go against your qualified, your required minimum distribution. So that's a tool you need to look into. Again, it's called a qualified charitable distribution. Apart from that, you know, what I would say is I would connect with a certified Kingdom advisor to do some planning for you to determine really what is your financial finish line to cover everything you might need, including long-term care, so that anything beyond that, you can accelerate your giving, and you can find a CKA at faithfi.com. That's going to do it for us today, folks. Thanks to my team, Devin Patrick, Pat Montague, and Jim Henry. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being here as well. Hope you have a great rest of your day, and come back and join us tomorrow. Lord willing, I'll be here, and we'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.